Morning. How you guys doing? All right, so let's go ahead and have a moment of transparency. Does anybody feel distracted or sluggish? The rest of you are lying. I'm just picking. I don't have the spirit, really. I think I have the spirit of caffeine on me, so, you know, if I'm a little hyper, it's okay. Craig asked me to share just 10 minutes on something that I feel like the Lord is moving us as a church towards. And it is this. If you would turn in your iPhone to Ephesians chapter 5, if you're one of those crazy people who has an Android phone, verse 19. Ephesians 5:19, this is what Paul says. Paul says, and this is a part of a sentence. He was encouraging the believers at Ephesus, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Okay? So, psalms. Psalms are songs, obviously, that we sing from Scripture. Okay, the book of Psalms, over 139, 140 chapters long, and they were structured as songs and poems. So psalms are songs that we sing to the Lord, okay? Pretty simple. So psalms, hymns are songs that we write, okay? So if you powerfully associate a hymn, you probably think along the lines of, you know, the Redback hymnals. Anybody grow up on hymns? Raise your hands. Hymns, you know. A particular hymn might be, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You know, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark." Now, God to Bulwark. I was going, how in the world did he put that name, that word, Bulwark, into a sentence? Like, how did he, you know, he was sitting there going, it was Martin Luther who wrote that hymn over in 1527 to 1529, somewhere in there. And he's German, so he's like trying to struggle with this word. I cannot figure it out. Fräulein! And he's calling to his wife, "Fräulein, come here, darling. You know, help me out here. I cannot figure out this word. What should we say?" Never failing. She goes, "How about love? You know, a love never failing." And he was probably like, "Oh, that's so stupid. No, you don't use the word love. Use Bulwark. That's a great name." So he puts Bulwark in a Bulwark into a praise song. I don't know how in the world he arrived at that, but he did. So a bulwark never failing. But a hymn are simply songs that we write to the Lord. You know, a song like "Holy Is the Lord" by Chris Tomlin. That's a hymn, okay? "Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory." So it's a simple song, a praise and worship song that we sit down, we meditate on, we write the verses and the choruses and the bridge. We take our time, we develop it. But there is a third song that Paul talks about that is kind of strange. It says in there, speaking with one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, from the Spirit? Aren't all songs spiritual songs or spiritual, you know, spiritual melodies? In a sense, yes. But the best way to describe this type of song is that it is a spontaneous, in-the-moment song. Let me repeat that. A spiritual song is a song that is spontaneous, in the moment, and from your heart. Okay? We get inspired as believers and Christians to write songs. You know, I've written a few songs. I'm not a great songwriter. Mike is a great songwriter. Love his songs. And we take these songs that we write inspired by our love for God and God's love for us, and we give them to Him, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us worship God with the songs that we write. In the spiritual song, the Holy Spirit gives you the words to sing. All right? You notice the last couple of Sundays, we'll start in a hymn, for lack of a better way to describe it, a song. Does anybody remember about 2 weeks ago we sang "Love Song," right? Okay. Anybody remember what happened? Well, I manipulated Craig Cooper into dancing in front of the whole congregation. That was funny. But in that song that Jason wrote, "This is a love song. This is what you're born to do." And when Jason got to the end of the song, I saw husbands and wives dancing in the congregation. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? I knew what I was supposed to do with that. It was a spontaneous thing. I had no plans whatsoever of telling everybody, hey, let's just all dance. It'll be great, you know. No, we're not going to do that. But no, the Holy Spirit said, yes, I love this song, and I want to add a demonstration of Jesus' love for the church. So, Sean, I want you to tell the congregation, husbands, dance with your wives. Chad and Hillary were already doing it back there before I'd even started. They were swaying back and forth. They knew what to do. And it manifested. It was a spontaneous song. Okay? So, what's another way to express a spiritual song? One way to express the spiritual song, let's say we're in a melody or we're in a sound bed, we're in a chord progression, the song continues, we've finished out singing the regular lyrics. One way that I tend to stir up the spiritual song in me is I will sing in tongues. Okay? The prayer language. Of all the gifts that we are given, the one gift given to the believer for himself, for herself, is the gift of tongues. It builds us up, right? All other spiritual gifts are for other people. But you could be in a melody, you can be in a sound bed, the moment is quiet, and something will begin to bubble up in your spirit. And you hear words that you might not have paid attention to before, that you would kind of go, where did those come from? And so, have y'all ever noticed, like, if we're at the end of a song, and then I'll start singing a chorus that's just in the moment. Have y'all noticed that? Yeah, well, we'll sing a chorus, and, you know, we'll repeat it again and repeat it again. It's an in-the-moment Holy Spirit utterance given to you to sing back to the Lord. Now, why would we spend so much time emphasizing the spiritual song? That's what it is. Why are we doing it? You know, a couple weeks ago, Craig asked me, you know, where do you think worship is going in the church? And I swear this is by revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, the modern worship movement has been spread far and wide like a net. If you look over in El Salvador or in the UK or all over the world, you see a very similar pattern of modern praise and worship courses that are very simple. Typically, it's a guy with a tenor voice behind an acoustic guitar. And beyond style, that's the influence that it was. But people realize it's not the form that changes your heart. It's the spirit. It's the right spirit. And the only place to go now as a movement of worship is to go deeper. It's been cast wide. Now we need to go deep. All right? So, I feel wholeheartedly that this is where God is leading the church, our local congregation, to learn, not just explain, but to demonstrate and teach the spiritual song. There's going to be a day coming, not immediately, when the Holy Spirit decides to move upon you. We're going to be in a holy moment. The band's going to be in a chord progression. I'm going to say, sing to the Lord a new song. And all these voices will rise up from the congregation. Some person over here will be singing in tongues. Another person over here will be declaring the goodness of God. Another person over here will be declaring the mercy of God. Another person over here will be singing a chorus. And strange as it is that all these different things are happening, it will sound like one voice. Why is it important? It's because this is what heaven sounds like. Many different people manifested, different temperaments and personalities, all making one sound, but unique in their own manifestation. So, why is this important? Because it is important to God. But one of the biggest reasons why, there's three types of presence that the believer understands and encounters. Number one, we have the indwelling presence of God. When you decide to follow and give your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells inside you. There is the omnipresence of God. Number two, there is the omnipresence. God is everywhere. If he wasn't everywhere, he wouldn't be God, right? But the third type of presence that he facilitates is the manifest presence of God. Where for some reason, when God's people align the hearts correctly, he will manifest his presence in a geographic area and begin to transform and change things. That type of presence is manifested when we sing the spiritual song. It is that type of song that God says, I will live in. Does that make sense? It says God lives or inhabits the praises of his people. The word praise he was talking about is the Greek word, or is it Hebrew? I can't remember, Craig. Tehillah. Not tequila. Wrong spirit. Okay? There's some folks who like tequila. It's like, yes, finally. No, I'm just kidding. The actual pronunciation is Tehillah, L-A-W. Tehillah. It is the spiritual song. It's not about getting weird. It's about singing God's song. His song is much bigger and much broader and much deeper and gives utterance and understanding to things that we can't contain in our own English language. But God knows what you're saying. That's where he's taking us. Today, I know this is the direction God's going, because you might have noticed it, you might have not. If you did notice, thank you, Jesus. We struggled today. We had a great rehearsal. We were fine. And the spontaneous song just had trouble getting forward. The enemy's not afraid of who you are. He's afraid of your anointing. He's afraid of what God has touched you to do. And if he can discourage you, if he can distract you, if he can depress you, if he can any of those things, anything to keep you away from manifesting your anointing, that's what the enemy's afraid of. Right? If you want transformation, pursue the spiritual song. Okay? Amen? That's all I got.